Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much. Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th. And Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. Katie Regan is the author of How to Find Your Way Home, a novel. Katie began her writing career as a reporter on local newspapers and then moved into writing features for The Glossies, becoming a features writer and then commissioning editor for Marie Claire magazine, where she also wrote the popular column And Then There Were Three, sort of about having a baby with her friend. Her first novel, One Thing Led to Another, was a fictionalized account of this experience and was published by HarperCollins in 2008. Alongside writing fiction, Katie still works as a freelance journalist and has written for most national newspapers and magazines, including Stella, Psychology's, The Daily Mail, The Times, and Grazia. She is also the author of two self-help books, Real Focus and Real Strength. She is a proud northerner from Morecambe, Lancashire, an area that figures in many of her novels, and now lives in Hertfordshire with her son. Welcome, Katie. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss How to Find Your Way Home, a novel.
Thanks for having me.
Would you mind telling listeners a bit about what the book is about? And I'm particularly interested in the homelessness angle of it and how you so seemingly realistically portrayed the experience of being a homeless person and what it's like sort of reacclimating and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So How to Find Your Way Home is, I would call it a big emotional family drama. And it's about a brother and a sister, Stephen and Emily Nelson. And when we meet them in the present day, they've been estranged for 17 years. And we know that Emily's been looking for her brother, who she knows is homeless. And one day, her sort of prayers are answered, I guess, in that he walks into the homelessness office where she works, finding flats for homeless people. And their kind of lives recollide. And then they embark on a sort of birding trip, a birding journey, and we learn all about their childhood and the kind of reasons why they were sort of estranged in the first place, like the big event that happened in their childhood that sort of catapulted them apart. And the reason I made it a brother and sister was a lot to do with the homelessness angle, in that I was really interested in this idea that, you know, if you were a brother and sister brought up in the same family with the same circumstances, what would mean one of you ends up homeless on the streets and one of you doesn't? One of you ends up sort of, you know, in a normal life, I guess. Emily's quite sort of middle class. She's got a nice apartment. She's got a boyfriend, good job. You know, what could have happened in your life to make that happen? So that's where that came from.
I love the, I didn't love, I mean, I was equally horrified by the Burberry's sweater showdown.
Oh, yes. 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 Who says things like that?
Right. There are always moments where you see the true character of someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Always in the small details, isn't it? It's in
one small detail about one character.
Yeah.
Which was so perfect. And I didn't even realize, of course, but the birds obviously play a big theme. And I didn't even notice the cover. I didn't even notice the birds on the cover until sort of after. And I was like, oh, well, of course there are birds on the cover because they come up all the time, and the binoculars and, you know, taking care of wounded birds and all of the things that happen along the way. Why birds? Why did you include all this aviary stuff?
Why indeed? I mean, I'm not a bird watcher at all and never was. My granddad was quite a bird watcher, and my dad used to take us bird watching when we were little, because I come from quite a marshy area of England, which is similar to Canvey Island in the book, although I come from the north and the Canvey Island's near London. So my son's father, his brother, suffers from quite severe mental illness, but he suffers from schizophrenia, but he's always loved bird watching, and it's always been a great source of joy for him, you know, resilience. And it just really interested me why that was, what it was about nature that kind of really helped him in his life. And so I think that's where the initial sort of, you know, inspiration came from. I wanted to show the resilience of homeless people. I'd worked in a few homeless shelters, and that's what really struck me. And I thought I wanted to give him something like a love of nature to kind of give him this power, this superpower almost. So that's where the bird watching came from, and his kind of love of nature. And I had to research it all because I knew nothing about birds. So, and then the more I researched about birds, the more I found like really magical kind of beautiful things that I wanted to weave into the plot, you know, about the migration. The migration thing, you know, I was kind of really wowed by this fact that the swifts in the book and all migratory birds, you know, they fly thousands and thousands of miles, like they're the size of a crisp packet, and they fly thousands of miles every year to like sometimes the same branch to kind of breed. And I thought, God, that's resilience, all right, you know. And I sort of loved the idea that it was mirroring that, and the fact that the swifts in the book that Stephen's so kind of in love with, they represent security and reliability to him in a world and a childhood that hasn't got any of that, you know, because he can completely rely on these swifts to come back almost to the day every year to Canvey Island, where he lives, to nest every spring. And he looks forward to it. And whilst things are going on around him with his stepfather and so on, and you know, life's quite difficult for Stephen as a child, he's got these to rely on. So that was also a factor. So it was kind of like, it was very organic how it came about. I didn't kind of go, I'm going to make it about birds and I'm going to make it fit. It was just like, when I learned about migration and I learned about bird behavior, I just was blown away by it. And I wanted to somehow think about what they could teach us, you know, I suppose, you know, and this idea that we're sharing the planet with something, you know, it's not just us here. And, you know, we're not the most important things on the planet. And Yeah, and also because he's homeless, his kind of superpower is that he's a real observer of life. And I thought, what could be more show that than him being a bird watcher? You know, kind of he's used to observing, and he observes from his place on the street as well, and he can see things that other people can't see about life and human beings. And yeah, so it all kind of tied in.
And wait, say again. So it's your husband's. So it's your stepson who is schizophrenic. Is that what you said?
No, so my son's dad, his brother. So my son's uncle.
Your son's uncle. So yes. your brother-in-law or former brother-in-law or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. We're not together anymore. But
right. Ex-brother-in-law.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure I had it straight. What was the experience of your ex's? Like growing up with, I mean, I know schizophrenia usually shows up around age 18 and everything, but not that you can speak for him, but
yeah.
But are there pieces of that relationship that particularly, I mean, one of my favorite books and movies is, you know, the Wally Lamb. I'm like literally losing my mind. I want to say She's Come Undone, but that's the wrong Wally Lamb.
Yeah, I've read that though. That's a fabulous
No, it's
one.
The one with Mark Ruffalo, and it was directed by Derek Sanfrance, and my mind is like literally.
Yeah, I need to watch this. I love She's Come Undone.
No, that was also good. Well, I'll think of it in 2 seconds, or I'm going to look it up. But anyway, it's the same thing where there were twins, and one of them was schizophrenic, and the other was not, and how that ended up evolving. Yeah. So I was just wondering anecdotally if you had
what sort of with my ex.
Yes,
he doesn't have schizophrenia.
I know this much is true. That's what it's called. Sorry, yes. I know this much is true.
He doesn't have schizophrenia, but he. And so always, you know, being very close to his brother and sort of, you know, looking after him, I guess, you know, caring for him. And he goes bird watching with him, and he's actually a photographer, and he's done a big book called Big Brother, which is all about his relationship. A kind of photojournalism book, which is amazing. And all of this, I think, filtered into my head and became a sort of inspiration from the novel. It was all going on around the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about your writing journey. And like, so you grew up in this marshy part of England, and then what happened?
I grew up in the northwest of England. I always wrote stories, but actually I was more into dancing when I was younger. I was more into performing arts, and that was kind of the direction I was going to go in. But I was always, I think, in a kind of imaginative world. And I used to write my own books, very, very ripping off shamelessly things like Beatrix Potter stories. I was obsessed with. And I used to do my own sort of rip-offs of that. So I was always writing stories, and then I did follow the dancing thing for a while, the acting dancing thing, but that didn't work out. And I decided I went to dance, like a residential dance college, but that didn't work out. And I decided that I wanted to come back and study and go to university, which I did. I did French and English degree. And I think it was at university really that I sort of discovered that maybe I could do this writing thing. I worked at the student newspaper as a features writer, and I just really felt like I'd found my spiritual home. You know, I loved the vibe of it. I loved writing, and I found out I could do it. Like a newspaper took an interest in a feature that I'd written. And I think that was my moment where I kind of went, oh, okay, maybe someone like me could make writing as a career. Cause I thought, you know, people from, you know, little towns in the northwest of England don't become writers. That's like a grand thing to be done. But I think, you know, little things happened where I thought maybe I can do that. And then I was a journalist, and I still am a journalist, for Marie Claire magazine and Glossy magazines. And then it kind of, I wrote a column, and that turned into my first novel. And then it went from there. So,
wow.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
What do you think is like the future of magazines? I know everything is moving so digital.
Yeah. Well, I don't really think there is much future for actual readable magazines. I love magazines. I still love magazines, but you know, they've so many of them have closed. Even Marie Claire here has folded, and is now only online. In fact, I don't know whether it's even online now. It's such a shame, and I feel so lucky that I worked for magazines in the golden era of the late 90s, early 2000s, in Soho in London. And that was like a really exciting time to work in magazines. That was the best time. So it's really sad, but and so I don't know if it's the same in the States, but here, like, a lot of the magazines have kind of merged. So like, you've got 3 magazines working on the same features desk, like people writing features for like 3 different magazines. So it's all got sort of smaller and the skeleton staff. But I still write for magazines myself, and I write for Yahoo and things like that. And so I still do bits of journalism.
Love it. I know. I miss magazines. I feel like it's so hard to find. I mean, I understand the rationale that it'll just be digital, but then once things all just get digital, it's impossible to sort it all out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't sit here and think, okay, I'm in the mood to read a magazine online. Which one should I read?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Whereas if it comes on my desk, I'll flip through it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something about holding it, isn't there? Yeah. And going through the pictures. And yeah, I'm with you. In fact, it never occurs to me to look at a magazine online, I have to say. I don't even read the news online. I mean, I listen to the news on my Echo Dot. I just like go, play me the news. I want to, you know. So yeah, it's really changing, isn't it?
I read actual hard copy newspapers.
I read
so much faster with an actual thing than a...
Yeah, no, I do when I've got the time, but I quite like to sort of listen, yeah.
Yeah, well, listening is good. We like listening. It helps this podcast.
Yes.
So what are you working on now?
Well, I need to write a new book. So I'm actually out of contract now. So I wrote the 2 books for Berkeley. So I'm working on a new book to sort of get the next deal. That's how it kind of works in... Yep. Books, you know, you get the deal or 2-book deal or 3-book deal if you're really lucky. So I've got an idea for that, and I'm working on that and doing lots of other sorts of writing, to be honest, as well, to kind of, you know, pay the mortgage and pay the rent. So, but yeah, I'm really excited, actually. I'm really frustrated. I want to get more into my new book and sort of find the time for that, because that's where my real satisfaction comes from. You know, I mean, journalism's great because it's fast and you write it and it's done, and, you know, and you get paid, and it's fast moving, but there's nothing like kind of fixing a problem in a novel that's so satisfying.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Do you have anything great that you've read lately?
Yes. What have I read lately? I read a book called Small Pleasures by Claire Chambers, mm-hmm. which was an odd little book about a virgin, a woman who believes that she's had a virgin pregnancy, you know, immaculate conception. Yeah. And that was, it came out quite a long time ago. And I think it might have been, I think it was shortlisted for the Booker or something, but it's a really quirky little book. I liked it a lot. And I mean, I read lots of things, you know, for kind of to quote on them and, you know, people, my peers, books and things like that. And I read a book called Attic Child by Lola J, which is a sort of, it deals with some of the history of the sort of black history. It's set in sort of late 1800s, and it's about that period in black history, and it's like a double timeline. So some of it's set in the sort of 90s, I think, and some of it in the 1800s, about two children who are both locked in an attic for different reasons. And that was, it's brilliant. It's brilliantly done. I think it's her first epic sort of history, but yeah, watch out for that one. It's fantastic, really rich and so well researched. And other than that, I'm reading an Anne Tyler Patchwork Planner. I've never read that. I know it's a kind of classic, so I'm reading that at the moment. I've got really eclectic tastes. I'll kind of read like bits of, you know, women's commercial fiction, and then I'll read some literary stuff, and then I'll read a bit of nonfiction. Yeah. And sometimes I read things that are needed for research for my new novel. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Last question. Do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
Yeah. It's not for the faint-hearted. So yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted. I think my one piece of advice, which is probably what everyone says, is just like actually write. You know, it's so easy to kind of like go, oh, I'm just going to buy another how to write book, and I'm going to look at this, you know, that there's that podcast, isn't there, and thing, Story Grid, which is great, but I can get lost in that for days and like never write a word. You know, it's all this stuff about, you know, it's all kind of like plotting and description and breakdown and inciting incidents. And, you know, it's all the kind of maths of storytelling. But if you're not careful, you can get really bogged down. So my tip would be sit down and try and actually do some words. And then you can read all that stuff. It's all helpful, but do some words. Also, at the moment, my tip would be, and other authors kind of disagree with this, but it's just where I am at the moment in my sort of novel writing, is to have a framework before you start, because otherwise it's just hell in my experience. So have a framework, you know, at least know the sort of vague middle, beginning and end. Don't just start something with a kind of idea of a theme that you want to write about. Because to be honest, How to Find Your Way Home, you know, I started it and I was like, I want to write something about a homeless man, and I had the brother and sister relationship, but that's about all I had. Mm-hmm. And so I made it quite difficult for myself, and it went through lots of drafts of trying to sort of to sort out the actual story. So my main tip to myself was, I'm never going to write a novel again where I don't know loosely at least what happens.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, Katie, thank you so much. Thanks for spending the time. I really enjoyed getting into the relationship of these two siblings and Stephen, and I loved all their little nicknames for each other, and just the intimacy and the idea of like a brother sort of rebounding and I mean, not to give anything away, but you know, spending time with people who you've not spent time with in such an intimate way after so long, and what it does to a family and how families can sort of come in and out. And I really enjoyed it. I got really into it. So
thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @WithZibbyAndTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site, and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show.
The mamas, bonus moms, office moms, moms of moms. This Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given us so much. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all your amazing moms with handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts. Ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.